Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Book of Romans, chapter 12, from verse 6, Paul said, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith; if service, in his serving; or he who teaches, in his teaching; or he who exalts, in his exhortation; he who gives with liberality; he who leads with diligence; he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Now, you remember what we have been saying, and this was where we ended, was about the matter of using different methods to outwardly create the opportunities for prosperity. And we have already established that the first thing is in the inward side, that is the heart side. What exactly do you believe? What are your expectations in life? Are you laboring against a deep-seated faith that things would not work, but you're just laboring outside because you just have to labor? If that is the case, then you are really laboring against a lot of encumbrance that will make sure that you don't succeed. But that if you settle first, Jesus said, "Who is there that will want to build a tower who will not first sit down to count the cost?" That is, you first settle down, settle in your heart that this thing can be done before you come outward to come and start doing it. You may have many labels in life, you may have many challenges, but if deep-seated in your heart is this faith that it will be okay and things will work, that God is on your side and you are not limited by circumstances, that promotion does not come from surrounding issues, but that God is judge, he lifts up one person after he has put down another. If you realize that God is lifting you up, that God is your judge and he will bless you anywhere in the world, then your labor outside, settled upon this matter, will most certainly produce something. We said there are things that God has given us to do as spiritual foundations for wealth creation outside. Last time I talked emphatically about the issue of seeking the good of the land, that we read from the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, especially from verse 7, that Jeremiah wrote in a letter the word of God to the exiles in Babylon, that where I have planted you, you must seek their good. You must seek the good of that land. You must desire that things will do well. You must invest in the society so as to produce prosperity in the society. I said my emphasis is not on individual prosperity, but the societal prosperity. That is within that that we can now individually prosper. And that we must go out first to make sure that we are just outputting into the world, and that eventually men will give back to us. He said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." That's Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour into your bosom. He said, with the same measure that you mete out or give out, with that same measure, it will be given back unto you. Now, this is a point there. It's a spiritual principle. If you give, you will get. The man who gives his goods and services, he gets payment in return. But please notice something. What comes first is the giving aspect. It's not the getting that comes first. It's the giving aspect. Spiritually, what we should note is that God wants us to give into our society. He wants us to give into the community. He wants us to give into the lives of other people around. And then eventually his spirit will move them, and then they will give back to us. Now, I've said what will take months, years, and different machinations to bring to pass. I've said in the simple spiritual words. That is, I will create something in my environment. Eventually, God will make it in such a manner that people will give back to me because of what I have created. Now, I said there are three things we use to give into the society or to create prosperity wherever we are. We said number one is our skill. He said, "Do you see a man who is diligent or skillful in his work?" We read that from the book of Proverbs chapter 22, the last verse there. He said, "This man will stand before kings." That is, he will so much make progress that he will become known amongst men, and kings will hear of him and call him to come and be of service to them. And what when the Bible talks about that, is actually describing a position of elevation. Because we see that Joseph was skillful in his work. He was diligent in his business. And eventually he was brought before Pharaoh. We saw also another biblical example that Daniel was skillful in his work, was diligent in his business, and eventually he was brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And even after Nebuchadnezzar's empire ended, he was brought again before Darius. That is, our assignment outwardly is to take our gifts, sharpen them till they become skills. That is, we become very good in something. And that thing that we are good in is the thing that brings us into prominence, is the thing that God might use. I like to use the word might use to bring great wealth to us. Because sometimes what God does is to allow us to use our skill to bless people, and then he engineers other events of life to bring money to us. But whatever it is, we will be known for the wealth that we have created in the lives of people. Let me just say this again, that a lot of people that you know that have a lot of money, where their money is coming from is not just that thing that you know them for, but spiritually, I'm interpreting now, that thing you know them for is probably the reason why God gave them money from other angles. You get the point I'm trying to make? Because it's a spiritual investment. He that shows mercy, the Bible says he will receive mercy, but he cannot dictate where that mercy will come from. He might show his mercy in a place where he's not getting so much materially, but then mercy will be shown to him in that where he's not even investing so much, so much will be given back to him from there. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. So we're talking about our skills, that there are things that God has given us as the avenue to bless somebody. Don't forget how we defined a job at the beginning. That a job is not that which is so prestigious that I wear a suit to, but that is a place where I output a blessing into the lives of people. So I follow that with diligence. A man I was reading about the other day, he said that if nobody gives you, I was listening to a man actually. He said, if nobody gives you a platform, you create your own platform. Are you getting my point? It is not, you see, sometimes people go around, I'm looking for a job, one place or the other. A young woman came to me some time ago, and I knew her when she was a student. One day she needed some help, and I helped her out with something in some work she was doing. So much years later, I saw her again. And I said, what is the issue? She said, this time around, what she needs is a job. That since she left school, she has had nothing that she's doing. After we discussed a bit, we identified some of her problems. She now said, okay, she thinks what she will do is to go back to school to go and get another qualification so that she can get a job. And I said, what exactly are you trying to do? Who guarantees you that by the time you spend another year or two getting this qualification, don't forget right now you are broke. That's why you are here. You need some money. You need things. I said, who will now pay again for the next year or two while you go through school trying to get another qualification? I said, are you trying to tell me that as you are right now, there is nothing that you can do? I said, for example, you probably know how to make clothes. I said, listen, having a university degree, it doesn't guarantee you anything. It doesn't. A university degree is to make you an educated man. Are you getting my point? There is no guarantee. And listen, education actually is supposed to develop you. It's like food for your soul. That is, your body needs food. So you eat bread, you eat yam, you eat, well, like we say, carbohydrates, proteins, fat and oil, minerals and vitamins, all right, and roughages to feed your body. Education is supposed to feed your soul. Do you get my point? That is, a man who is vitamin deficient will be sick. A man who is information deficient will also be sick in his soul and will be unable, all right, to effectively do his business. There's a man that my wife has some business dealing with, and the way he was behaving, I told my wife his problem is that he's not educated. Now, I do not mean that he did not have a third degree from a university. That's not what I meant. I said he's behaving as an unenlightened man. He does not know how to communicate. He doesn't know how to deal with his business partners or deal with his customers. Are you getting my point? So I'm trying to emphasize that. See, the issue now is not whether I have a certificate to show. And that's the problem we have in our society right now. People go to school to buy certificates, to sleep around to get certificates. They just want to get the certificate. Just get a certificate. I like the way Americans do it. They really don't want to see a certificate, first of all. They want to see what you can do. How do they interview you? All right, you say you can do this. Do it. Let us see. Now, the certificate is good, but probably gives you like 20% of the weight in getting that job. What they want is what you can do. I was listening to a friend of mine. He was talking in a church. You know, he was explaining something. Now, this was not even in Nigeria. You know, he was talking somewhere in the U.S. And he was explaining to the congregation. He said that he was telling them the amount of money he had earned in less than just about half of the year. All right, and it was already more than twice their average. No, it was three times the average income for Americans. All right, and he said, "I earned all of this money using qualifications I acquired in Nigeria. That is, I didn't come here presenting certificates. I came presenting what I could do. Do you get my point? And people hired me for what I can do. Please get that point. Our emphasis in what we can bless people with, what we can output into the lives of other people. That's how we create the opportunities for prosperity. It's not by flashing certificates all over town. Once I was in the traffic in Mushi in Lagos, and a man was there begging for money and was displaying his certificates to show that he had never had a job, all right, despite the fact that he went to school. And I looked at him that you are not a serious person at all. What has this certificate got to do with things? Why don't you go and ask the man who's offloading cement there how much certificate he had to show for them to employ him to offload cement? Are you getting my point? What did he do? He just came and said, I can carry it. One day, a man was begging me. That was around Yaba in Lagos. And that day, I was just a bit angry with him because he looked so fit. He looked so healthy. A young man already beginning to, you know, become a senior young man. You understand my point? And he had been begging for a while. So I called him. I said, why don't you just walk? He said he had looked for a job he couldn't find. I walked away from him. Because when we talk about looking for a job and not finding, you mean I've gone to the gate of a company, I've queued up there. You get my point? And nobody has given me anything. Have you ever bothered to go on one Saturday to where they are arranging canopies for weddings for the day, and you try to help them hoist the canopies, and they drove you away? Have you bothered to go there and go and wash chairs that they are going to put under the canopies, and they refuse to pay you anything? No, you have never bothered. It's not dignifying. But if your brother were to get you a visa, get your air ticket, and you land in America or you land in Europe, the first day you arrive, you are there cleaning train stations because you have to work. Are you getting the point I'm making? I have seen people with all kinds of certificates and degrees go to foreign countries. They know they have to eat. So they started out doing the lowliest job that was available. Listen, most of your friends that traveled abroad, go and ask them what they are doing. The ones that are not stealing, the ones that are not doing anything crooked, those who are doing honest business, ask them either what they are doing or how they started out. And one person who make bold to say, and nobody has ever been able to convince me otherwise, because they have no evidence, that if he said that a man went to America and he made it, I said, go and check, that same person would have made it in Nigeria. He would have made it anywhere, all right? Because people struggle all over the world. I said, when he got there, what did he do? Show me what he did. Tell me whether if he had done it here, he would not have made it. No, see, the issue is that he never believed, all right, that he could do it. Are you getting me? That's why, as a president, you see, if I see a young man going around saying that he's begging for money because he doesn't have a job. In fact, for those who want to know, if somebody's always coming begging for money because he doesn't have a job, offer him a job. That way he will never come back to begging for money. It's somebody that taught me that long ago in Lagos. There was one man, as an example, just to tell you what I mean by creating the opportunity for prosperity. I wrote this in one of my books titled Grace to Prosper, this story. I worked in Luth, all right, just to explain this point. And there was one tall man, fit man, you know, not a very young man, all right, but I don't want to call him middle-aged. At most, he'll be in his late 30s, all right, okay, or at most, he'll be 40 years of age. Now, I noticed something. He used to go from one doctor to another begging for money. He doesn't beg all the time, you know. Occasionally, he'll just come, like, doc, please, oh, and then he will tell you a small story, and then you give him some money, all right? Now, he worked in the laundry department of that teaching hospital. Now, my boss, my chief, a lady, all right, she's a very nice person. One of those people that are very nice in this world. One of the people that God used to put goodness onto the earth. Do you understand my point? She's a very nice person. So, any story you tell her, she will part with her money. That's just the kind of person she was. Now, in her niceness, she did something one day. She was not trying to push this guy off. But the guy will come often to her. She was a senior person, alright? And tell stories, and she'll give him some money. Now, in her niceness, one day, she now called the man and said, please, let me explain something to you. You come around begging some of us for money. Maybe it's because you think that we are so highly placed, we earn so much, so we don't need the money that we are earning. Now, I'm just adding my own words now. Some people think that those who earn a lot of money don't need their money. Actually, you'd be surprised that they actually do, and they do go broke, and some of them are actually in debt, all right? Okay, so she said that, now, how come we get so much money? It's not because we are so well paid here. And as a matter of fact, it's not as if that time government was paying very, very poorly. That everybody is poorly paid. That we all have something that we do extra that puts some money into our pockets. That why don't you do something also? Instead of just walking, you know, this walk to rules, come at 8, close at 3. If you have extra duty, you do your duty, and then wait to the end of the morning to earn some wage. She said that, why don't you do like the rest of us do? We have little things here and there. Of course, being doctors, probably someone like her has maybe private practice here and there. He said that, you are a laundryman. That's where I'm coming to. You are a laundryman. Why don't you just do laundry business part-time? And she offered instantly that she will instantly convert all her family laundry to his business. That is, you will start being my laundryman. I will start packing clothes that I could have washed in other places. I will come to patronize your business. That way you get some extra money and you don't have to go around begging. You know, the problem with people, a lot of people beg is that they're actually shameless. Do you understand my point? Now, listen, if you are in need, I'm not saying that when you went to ask somebody for money, when you were broke, you are a shameless person. No, I mean that you have turned into a habit. Anytime you are broke, say, oh, but these boys have money. Let me go there and go and beg for money. Now, actually, you have thrown away your shame entirely. I remember them say they can't do some demeaning job. I say, look, if you can beg, there's no job that's not more honorable than begging in this world, including clearing gutter. There's no job that is not more honorable than begging. No man will look down on a man who cleans his gutter very well and earns his wage. I remember one Indian movie we watched as children those days. I remember it was Amitabh Bachchan that acted that role. I forgot the name of the movie exactly now. When he was a child, once he was on the street shining shoes, and he finished shining shoes, and the man whose shoes he just cleaned tossed him his payment, threw it onto the ground. And the boy got up and said, excuse me, sir, I am not a beggar. I work for my money. Put the money into my hand. And the man was startled. He said, sir, I'm not begging. You toss money to beggars. I work for my wage. So please, you have to take the money and put it into my hand. Otherwise, I'm not taking it from you. And the man looked at his partner. He said, this boy will go far in life. That is, this boy is working. He's not begging. Are you getting my point? So the point I'm making is that there's no job that's not more honorable than begging. So my chief told that man simply, why don't you do like this? And the man thanked her very well and left and never came back to beg her for money. Simply because she demonstrated to him that the reason why you are totally broke is because you don't want to work. That was not even her intention. She just gave him the avenue, again, let's get back to that, to create prosperity for himself and for other people. I tell people that like him that you have a special advantage. What's a special advantage? You are connected with people who will patronize you. Instead of going begging for money, why don't you go to the same people and say, please, come and patronize my business? They are more likely to respond favorably to you. Your coming next time will never meet, we tell him I'm not around. Are you getting my point? There are those who go around, look, they would rather come and tell you stories. You know, why don't you tell the man, please, there is something I do. Let me come and do it for you. What I do is I go from house to house washing cars. Now, you'll be amazed at this, what this kind of thing can do. I know a man, that's all he does. What does he do? This man has never gone around anywhere I know begging anybody for money. He does his business actually where I work. All right? He goes, because there are so many civil servants there, a lot of whom have cars. Cars parked there, there are hundreds of them. And what he does, he doesn't pay for a shop space, doesn't pay for water. He doesn't have to beg for clients. Many times I asked him to wash my car, he didn't even have time. He had too many people queued up for him to wash their cars. They don't just bother at home. All the young men who have cars, who don't have anybody in their house, they just drive the dirty cars to work and park it there and toss him their keys. And he goes there, like one man told me once, and he washes the car with love and with passion. When it's through with your car, you will love the car. You get my point? Now, there are people like him who just go around and say, things are rough, things are difficult. And people work in the same establishment who would rather go and beg. I know a man in that same establishment that once he greets you from afar, you want to take another direction. Because it's the same story every time. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about using your skill. In life, God has given everybody something that he can do. The problem with us actually is that we're either too proud or we are too covetous. You get what I'm trying to say? You are too proud or you are too covetous. They tell you do something small, you want to earn a whole week's wage, all right, on one little job. I ended last week by explaining something, that this is how this thing works. You're an artist, as an example. There was a day somebody saw, somebody was telling me a story of, he met somebody who was an artist. By the time they gave her the cost of the artwork, he said, very, very nice, I'm just passed and left. If you have your clients, good, go to them. But I'm most certainly not one of them. You are starting out in something like that. You know a few people who you think can afford something. For goodness sake, paint them. You do portraits. Do portraits for them. You don't have to charge them anything yet. The only thing is that do it so well that they will proudly put it in their sitting room. Because one day somebody will ask, who did this? Do you get my point? He said, do you see a man that's diligent and skillful in his business? He said, he will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Are you getting my point? What will bring you out before kings is the skill with which you are doing the business that you are doing, not how much money you charge for it. Are you getting the point I'm making here? That is, listen, you have to look for every opportunity to impact somebody's life. Don't let money be the hindrance.
I mean, like I explained last time, you see a young man, he said he's doing public speaking. First time they want to tell you, come and speak in the class, say, okay, how much are people going to pay me? What's wrong with your head? Why should they pay you when they don't know you? You need the opportunity. They don't need. If they wanted to pay money, they know where to go. Are you getting my point? Like you've heard me say, and other people have said again and again, they say people just want to use you. Look, a man that's not used is a useless man. Do you follow my point? To be used, no, really, to be used in the earlier parts of your life, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. It's a very good thing. They are giving you cheap and free advertisement. You want to paint a house? You know how to paint. Listen, if you chat like everybody else, why should I come to you? Let me know, you know, use those who I know very well. But a man, you see, a man wants to, I mean, let's even leave those who can pay you. Because how do? Because these are spiritual seeds you must sow. Your friend rented a house. Why don't you tell him, buy the paint, let me paint for you for one of these evenings when I'm not doing anything. Are you getting my point? Or a man that's bigger than you, say, oh, let me paint you. Okay, you are moving to a new house, very nice house, but I think the paint is old. I can help you paint the house. And how much will it cost? You don't have to pay me. But please, just give me some money. You know, you buy the paint. Give me some money. Let me buy some tools. Give him the correct, don't lie. Give him the correct cost of the tools. I ask him simply, at the end of the day, can I go away with the tools, sir? That will be my payment. You have acquired tools for nothing. When the man realizes, how much is he paying you for the tools? It's not so much. Okay, go ahead, take this in, do the work. At the end of the day, you live there with tools. And if you did the work well, you live there with a place of advertisement. That this, I did it. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I'm saying is not new. These are principles that those who have succeeded in business have realized that this is how it works. But I'm taking it from a spiritual angle. That what you are doing is to sow a seed into the lives of people. You are giving them something. And he said, eventually men will give back to your bosom. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. A man told me something once. I met him somewhere and he was describing, he heard me preach like this, I think on this broadcast or somewhere, or his church where I went to preach. He said, sir, I use those principles you taught me. He said there was a place where he was supposed, he's a craftsman. He does a handiwork, you know, like a carpentry or metal works or something like that. I'm not very sure which one he does now. He said he went somewhere and they told him they needed some job done. So he said, okay, they had bought all the materials and everything, told them what to buy. And then I said at the end of the day, okay, how much are you going to charge for this? And he looked, he said, suddenly he remembered that thing I said. Look, you are trying to open doors for yourself. Don't go and start shouting about money. So he told them that let me just do the work. Whatever you like at the end of the day, you pay. He's not investing in his own materials. The people have bought everything. And it's a new field, all right, that he's opening up. So he went in there, he did the work, and did the work so well. When he was through with doing the work, the people now said, how much are we going to pay? Have you decided? He said, no, I told you whatever you want to pay, pay. This one, I'm leaving you, I'm giving the liberty. All right? Now, please, let me give a word of caution. There are those who do this so as to entrap the people. I'm not preaching to wicked people. That's wickedness. You want to put the man's conscience on edge so that he doesn't have a choice, even if he did a bad job, all right? But to give you money, that's not what I'm talking to, sincere people who really wouldn't mind if they are not giving anything. Of course, most people will give you something. But the guy, the testimony he gave me was that by the time they paid him, he was shocked because he was not even going to charge them as much as half of that. But because they were so impressed with the work he did, they assessed the work amongst themselves and decided that this is what this work is worth, and they gave the money to him. Now, this is what I think really happened. People who have done it in the past and have not done as well as him have charged more than that, and they have not gone back to those people. So when another man came doing excellent work, not even gripping the money so solidly, all right, they realized that this must be a good man. More interesting, all right, is the fact that tomorrow they will call him back for another job and they will refer him to other people. I'm talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity. Look, I worked in a place once. They employed a driver. First, they reported to work. An emergency came up at closing time. He said he's sorry. This is his closing time. He's going home. They fired him. It didn't last that week. They fired him. Look, it was an emergency. He worked in a hospital. He was driving the ambulance. It was his closing. In fact, he had closed, but he had not gone left the premises. He was sitting down there just gisting with the other people. And then suddenly something came up. And they said, okay, the driver is there. Please take the ambulance. Go and do this. And he noted to them simply that, oh, please, I have already closed. It's past my closing time. The first day, they left him. The next day, something like that happened. The MD walked out and sacked him on the spot. Look, I've said, this lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is why a lot of people will never do well. That guy, I remember his story. for a number of things I saw around him, I don't know the amount of mercy God needs to make that guy prosper in life. It's obvious. The way he was going, his suffering had not yet even commenced at that time. Please, I hope the points I'm making, I hope they are very clear. So I'm emphasizing that point that, please, when we talk about creating the opportunity for prosperity, God has given you a skill or a gift, which the only avenue you have for exercising them so as to sharpen them into skills is by using them freely. Are you getting the point I'm making? You use them freely. The thing that you do, look for somebody who needs it, who cannot even pay you, and do it for the person. Please, remember I emphasize that it is about creating the opportunity for prosperity, not personal prosperity. Because even though you don't earn from it initially, as long as somebody's life has been improved, you have already created a prosperity for somebody. And listen to me, if you obey the word of God, there's no how you won't prosper in life. That's a matter of fact. You will prosper. God will open doors for you. God will cause men to return back to you. Even if the people you did for did not return to you, eventually God will make people who you have not done much for return much favors back to you in a mighty measure. These things are spiritual. Every time I preach, and I preach the way of success, I want people to understand that it's not just about going to business school and learning business principles, but about learning the laws of the spirit, learning the way things work spiritually, that God has said, he that shows mercy will himself obtain mercy. And for all the things you're asking for in life, what you need is mercy. Mercy is another expression. It's similar to what the Bible calls favor. That is, people allow you into places where you personally are probably not qualified for. Are you getting my point? Another thing I should quickly emphasize in that area. Sometimes Christians say that thing, that, look, I'm blessed. I will go to places I'm not qualified for. Let me explain what I mean by what you are not qualified for. What we mean is that Joseph will enter the palace of Pharaoh, even though he's not a prince by birth. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But something brought him in there. That's what we are saying. It's not as if one day he was in the prison and Pharaoh just woke up and said, I don't know, I just feel good this morning. There's a child of God out there I want to bless. Please call any child of God in the prison for me. And the person comes and say, oh, child of God, today my soul feels like blessing you. Other one is Pentecostal jokes. Are you getting my point? I know you have preached and you've heard me say it. You will get employment in places you're not qualified for. That is true. But they will have a reason to break the rules to employ you. You won't know anybody, but the MD will say, this boy, no. Rather than him not be employed, I will resign from this company and go somewhere else. Someone was telling me a story about some guys they built a gigantic business in one of these foreign countries. And that when they were going to get their break to listen, they needed money to fund the start of the business. Now listen to this. I've forgotten the details, the name of the company and all of that. But the facts are correct, especially the principle behind them. He said that when they were going to get the financing, they went to all the banks and all the banks refused. For certain reasons, they just didn't fit the way things were supposed to be. They had a banker who knew them. This is another thing. Who knew them very well. They were two men. He said he knew this man, that these boys, whatever they do, succeeds. That they are skillful. I think they are into home equipment. That they are skillful in their things. Everything that they do, they always do it excellently. That if anybody gives them the financing necessary, they will make it in business. That was what their personal banker felt. But everywhere they would write their proposal, the banks would turn them down because it didn't fit the people that they could give money to. And I'm talking about God breaking rules for your sake. I heard that, even though they did not know, that the man handling their accounts and their financing, one day walked to his boss's office and dropped a piece of paper on the table. The boss of the bank. And so the boss said, what is that? He said, that's my resignation letter. He said, what do you mean? He said, what you need is a computer, not a human being. He said, what do you mean? I have told you, as a man in this business, that these boys are worthy of this loan. And you have said no. You are telling me I don't have sense. Okay, take my resignation. I'm going away. He said, either give them that loan or I walk out of here. I resign this job. Now, the man looked. Of course, these are people, intelligent people. That's the way they are. Those who can handle serious businesses. He looked at the man and said, this man, I can't let him resign. Now, please listen to this. I can't let him resign. So it's okay. You really mean that these boys can do it? He said, yeah, okay, don't resign. I will approve the loan. I'm bringing out the point. Why was the loan approved for them? Why did God show them favor? He says, do you see a man who is skillful and diligent in his work? This man knew them that they could do the work. I'm not talking about, God will just show you favor that you don't understand. I know. Those men never understood this favor until years later because nobody told them. It was years later that boss, when they were doing a celebration, of course, then they had broken through. They were a multi-billion dollar company and all of that. And the man said, do you know what happened? How come I gave you that first loan? They said, no. He said, this was what this your friend did. Now, please get my point. Christians, sometimes, you know, somebody preaches to you that, don't worry, there's a favor that's unnatural. I agree. But God is not stupid. God does not want to promote mediocrity. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.